How money spent to fight climate change can be considered an investment, not an expense. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. A high-level international panel has done the numbers that it says shows it makes economic sense to fight climate change. A new report is from the Global Commission on the Economy and Climate. That commission is chaired by the former president of Mexico, Felipe Calderon, and includes CEOs from major corporations and other top officials. The BBC's environment correspondent Matt McGrath has been looking at the report. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning, David.
Help me a bit with the logic of this. Businesses are going to be spending money on new infrastructure in the coming years, and that spending might go toward climate-friendly investments?
What the report is pointing out is that we've been looking at kind of a false dilemma, in a sense that the idea has been that if we spend money on building infrastructure, green infrastructure, if you like, green solar power or wind power or electrical rail or whatever it might be, that actually it's somehow a big cost for economies everywhere. And what this report is trying to point out is that in the long term, going green this way makes sense. It's good for business and it's good for the economy. We can grow and be green as well.
Now, if the subject is climate change, there will be critics. What is some of the criticism of this report?
A lot of the criticism of this report would be focused on how do you value things like cleaner air. Critics would also say there's going to be a big cost in jobs here. For instance, there's a lot of jobs in coal all around the world. Those jobs are going to get hit if there's a limit on carbon emissions. And then, in fact, according to the report, the costs of employment and everything else are actually not that great. They can be borne. And for that small price, we get to keep growing economically and save the planet as well.
BBC environment correspondent Matt McGrath is following this from London. Matt, thank you.
My pleasure.
In a sense, tugging the other way is this. A year ago today, the head of the American Automobile Association said sub-$3 a gallon gasoline in America may be history, like using 8-track tapes. Well, don't look now, but a global glut of oil has pushed down the average price to $3.39 and falling, Marketplace's Scott Tong reports.
In places like Greene County, Missouri, the average price of unleaded is already $2-something.
At this moment today, we are at $2.95.
James Orr is manager of Casey's General Store on South Grant Avenue. His local competition?
They range from low 290s. Most of them are actually around 98, 99.
A couple things are going on here. As of this week, gas stations in many states can sell a cheaper product called Winter Blend. And in world oil markets, where our pump prices are mostly set, there's ample supply. U.S. production is at a 28-year high. Consultant Andy Lipow thinks the national gas price will fall another 7% to $3.15 by Halloween.
And $3 a gallon is in the cards if we can see crude oil prices decline to $85 a barrel.
As for AAA's prediction of never ever below $3, well, its winter forecast dips to a nervous $3.10. I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
There's never a fabulous time to talk about dying, so here we go. Some private insurance companies reimburse doctors for end-of-life conversations. Now, Medicare is considering paying for these. From KERA in Dallas, Lauren Silverman reports on some technology companies. They're coming up with organized ways for people to spell out their medical wishes when the end comes.
In the world of health data and technology, end-of-life planning isn't exactly hot.
It's not as sexy as, you know, fitness trackers and gadgets and stuff. But this is how you're going to provide quality care.
Scott Brown is co-founder of a free service called My Directives. It's a web-based system for storing and updating your end-of-life wishes. Right now, he says, the industry is still stuck in the era of file folders.
That document, once it's created, it's placed in a shoebox somewhere or a file cabinet or a safety deposit box, and it's not available when it's needed. People can't plan their emergencies between 9 to 5 Monday through Friday.
What's important to you? On this page, you can help future doctors and caregivers by letting them know what matters to you.
His website walks you through filling out a directive. You learn about hospice and palliative care and dive into the nitty-gritty of life support and do not resuscitate orders. See, while most Americans think it's a good idea to talk with their loved ones about end-of-life care, less than 30% have actually done it. Christine White, a social worker in Salem, Oregon, used My Directives to upload a personal message to her husband.
If I precede my husband, I want him to know that his incessant whistling was the joy of my life. In fact, every day with him was a gift I cherished.
There's a handful of apps that let you explain the medical treatments you do and don't want in your final days, even one from the American Bar Association. Proponents say filling out such documents can relieve anxiety and save money by cutting back on unwanted medical procedures. Critics who've studied advanced directives, like Dr. Henry Perkins, say interpreting the requests can be complicated.
I warn patients they must not expect a great deal of control through these documents over the care that they will get.
There are endless medical scenarios, he says, and you simply can't plan for everything. But technology sure does make it a lot easier to try. In Dallas, I'm Lauren Silverman for Marketplace.
Should we leave it there? How about the Groucho Marx quote on the subject? I intend to live forever or die trying. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.